You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to artist and my childhood friend, Scott Haddix. My favorite part of the interview was when we talked about our relationships with Tom DeLonge from Blink 182. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. This is a historical one, folks. My first guest, I grew up with the guy since childhood, okay? Please welcome, for the first time on the show, artist Scott Haddix. What's up, my man? Wow. A sight for sore eyes. My first childhood. We grew up, like, we legit grew up together.
We did.
Since when? Elementary school?
Elementary school, Painted Rock.
And not only that, I remember, didn't you have a launch ramp in your driveway?
I did. Everyone congregated.
Yeah. And so, who was your third grade teacher?
Oh, man.
I had Mrs. Self.
Yeah, Mrs. Self. I think I had her, but I was held back in third
but,
grade.
You know, she was a looker. She was a looker.
She totally was.
That was the first time, I never told anyone this, but my first masturbation experience is because of her.
Self.
Yeah, because me and Anthony were in her class, and we did our book report, whatever, and she leaned over.
In her blouse?
Yeah. I saw her breasts, and I ran home, and, you know, and nothing came out, but yeah, but you know, she was dating, he was on the faculty for sports at Poway High. You know, Mr. Self was he was like Brandstetter.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then, dude, even back then, I have to let everyone know, like, you, since I grew up with you, you had no problem with the ladies.
No, I did not.
Do you remember Round Table Pizza?
I do remember Round Table Pizza.
And Rancho Bernardo?
I do. It's still there.
It is?
Uh-huh.
So shout out to the Pedrotti, A.J. Pedrotti and his family. Am I saying it right?
A.J. Pedrotti? I don't know if they still own it, but...
But they did.
They did.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
So shout out to A.J. But I remember even before high school, I was there with you. This may be 6th or 7th grade, and it was like watching a movie. It had to do... You were there, I was there, and Tracy Sigismonti was there. Just remember... I was so, I mean, I had no, you know, you guys all had hit puberty before I did, but I remember you were like, you were just the lady. I'm like, dude, this is Scott's girl. Or do you remember that?
I remember
you
that.
You don't remember that night?
I don't, there were a lot of nights, bro. I lost my virginity outside your house.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, dude.
Not my house.
Outside your house in
Carrie
a car.
Reading?
No, you remember, Jimmy Gassetti, Joanne, you and I went to a mall. And
North County Fair?
The North County Fair, and we didn't have a ride home. Do you remember this?
And this guy, I went,
and they said, you know, I asked that girl, she has keys. And I went up to that girl, and I said, hey, do you have a car? Can we get a ride home? And she gave us all a ride home. And then I called her up that night, and she came over and picked me up, and I had nowhere to go. So we went over to outside your house.
Ranch Hollow? How come you never told me that?
Oh, dude, I did. I called you. I called you that night.
Are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
You know that house was haunted. Like, I learned later.
It was?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was
dude.
An uncomfortable house, bro.
It was because it was built on a burial ground. Indian burial. Dude, I almost got possessed.
Really?
Yeah. Basically, they held me down, the spirits. They're whispering in my ear, holding me. Oh, yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah. And do you remember how I was a Bible thumper?
Oh, totally.
And I had Bible verses in my room.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
You and Glenn Aranis go around.
Yeah, he got the girls too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
You know, I ran into Glenn a few years back. Do you know him, Jimmy Gassetti, and Joanne? They're like businessmen.
They are like businessmen, family men. And they all like started with Jimmy's dad's stepdad's company, and they just stuck with it, and they built it up.
It was his mom, though. I remember in high school, they never included me because I was always cutting. I don't know why, but I remember going to Jimmy's, and then he would be like, the mom was like prepping him for this business venture.
Yeah.
But back then, I'm like, do you remember his red Jeep, his red Bronco?
Yeah.
Were you there when we almost died? And
oh yeah. Oh yeah. I tried to pull it out with the white blazer I was driving. We tried
you
to chain
there?
That. Yeah. Drove down, and we actually met you guys down.
Well, explain the story. Okay, so we were taking the Bronco up near Poway Lake or
behind Poway Lake,
on the back
Blue
roads?
Sky Ranch.
Okay, back roads.
Right, back roads. And we I wasn't in the car with you guys. You and Anthony and Jimmy were in that car. And I was following you guys, and all of a sudden, we just came up, like, into this, like dust cloud. And Jimmy had ran, like, off a cliff into a ditch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then we tried to pull it out with my truck, and I remember we had to call, like, a tow and get it out of there. It was a mess,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
What a fun day.
You know what? Now that you're, because you're the, this is, like, a historical episode, because no one... I have the deepest history with, like, I knew you as, like, we were kids.
Yeah.
Do you remember in high school, there was a hill near Joanne's, and we would all smoke weed and drink 40s up there?
Oh, little Mickey's. Yeah, Cypress Hill, yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally remember
okay,
that.
I remember one day, didn't you drive, like, a Bronco or, like, kind of SUV?
Yeah,
okay, it was your car.
Yeah.
We were doing... dirt. We weren't being good kids up there. We're doing something. We're either about to smoke a joint, about to drink beer.
Yeah.
We're about to do something.
Yeah.
Cop rolls up. You might not remember. I'm going to refresh your memory.
Sure, go ahead.
You saved our asses in a major way. Because we were all up there. We all had weed or beer or something. Cop rolls up.
Oh!
Hold up. Cop rolls up. You and Danny Wood or someone else instinctively... had a lacrosse stick, and you acted as if we were playing lacrosse up there. And I'm like, that was genius, because when the cop rolled up, he was probably thinking, oh, these kids are just they're just doing, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
I remember that. And that was like our, that was your guys' senior year, I think. And I was back in town from, I left the state and I went to a boarding school. And I happened to have that lacrosse stick with me.
Yeah.
From going back east, whatever. Long story there.
Did you go to this? You went to Twin Peaks, though, too, right?
Twin Peaks, yeah. Rams. Yeah.
See, you know, unfortunately, I got more girls and stuff in middle school. I got nothing in high school. I got zilch.
Nothing in high school, huh?
Nothing. And they used to, they wrote in my yearbook my senior year. I knew that's why everyone knew. Because in my senior in the yearbook,
they did not.
In the yearbook, all the girls were like, you know, the best of luck. Hopefully you'll get girls in college. You know, they knew. They
dang.
Knew. And Reed. Shout out to Reed Whitmont. Shout out to the Whitmonts.
Yeah, the Whitmont family.
Brad, Reed, Lance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those are that was like second family to
that's
me
right.
in Summerfield. You remember
mm-hmm.
that community?
I do.
But Reed was always concerned about me because he went to visit. Came to visit me at ASU. You went to U of A, didn't you?
Yeah, I
want to get to that too.
Yep.
But a couple people visited me my first year at ASU. Anthony.
Oh, he did.
Reed,
oh.
Couple other ones, but even because I didn't lose my virginity till like late, like maybe second year of college.
Really?
And he looked at me. He goes, "You're getting girls, right?" He's like, "Steve, look
he's
at
always
me.
Got
look at me, Steve. You're getting laid, right? You're getting laid, right? You okay? You care on this campus?" But I lied to him because I was so ashamed because I wasn't getting girls.
Oh, yeah, bro.
So I was looking at him. I'm like, yeah. He's like, no, but like penetrate like you're getting with.
Like, he was deep like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he was deep. Like,
he'd get into that.
Because Reed's like my brother. I mean, the Whitmonts were like, those are like my brother. Dude, do you know how many like sleepovers I did in Summerfield?
Yeah.
Shout out to Anthony too.
Anthony Lee.
Shout out to Anthony. Do you know when he spent the night several times? I didn't know this, but this is how slick he was. Most of the time, I'd wake up in the morning and he was nowhere to be found. I go, where the hell? Where is he? Because you know, I'd set up a sleeping bag.
Yeah, I spent the night there.
What?
I've spent the night there. I've slept in your room.
Yeah, I know the
routine.
So, but then I'm like, where could he be? Huh. And then I like run outside. I go on the next street over, not on the Chris Bender. You know, remember the
Bender. Up the street. Yeah.
It was the other street.
Yeah.
Near Carrie Reading.
Yeah.
And
he was walking
in the morning. He was walking over the hill from Carrie's. So it dawned on me like
they were slick, bro. Nobody knew that. I didn't know that. I mean, not that I would, but he was always slick. Anthony had his shit tight down, man.
He must have read books. I don't know how he got so slick.
His brothers, man. His brothers.
You're right, Dudley.
Chris and Dudley. Chris was smooth. Still is, dude.
Remember
that Pantera? Remember that?
Oh, yeah, but I remember even in high school, we would be doing, like, practicing dance moves, and then Chris would be in there. He had, like, fine Latina girl, and I'm like, oh,
you remember her?
Do you remember? Dude, do you remember her?
Dude, yeah, dude, hell yeah.
Oh, you remember?
Oh yeah, the short girl, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
But
so
she be coming
fine.
Out of his room because you know you remember how Anthony's house was.
Yeah, yeah.
Set up.
There were
the bedrooms
room,
were close. It was like bathroom, like his room, Anthony's room, bathroom was right around the corner.
Yeah,
yeah, but then I'm like, oh, they all get girls.
They all do. They all do.
Yeah. I've said this a lot, and I think people like always say, "Oh, bullshit!" But I always plug Blink 182 and Tom.
You should.
I reached out to Tom hundreds of times with no answer back. Shout out to Tom. Shout out to Rich Salo.
Tom.
Shout out to Dan Rogers.
Yeah.
But how did you? What was your experience? We're gonna get your art, by the way. You have beautiful art here.
Thank you.
What was your experience growing up with Tom, and then Tom doing Blink?
So
and then I'll share my story.
So this is real. I mean, I've told people this, and
we grew up with Tom.
Like Twin Peaks, he went to Twin Peaks with us.
Yeah.
And we went to high school with them, and Tom was just a kind of a tall nerd, bro. Like
skater though.
Skater, tall nerd.
He could kickflip back then. I remember I was tripping. I'm like,
I mean, just a good dude. And like, I mean, he would walk through the mall or the quad at Poway High.
He was homecoming king. Do you remember?
He was not. Yeah. I wasn't there for that.
Oh, you weren't there.
No.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, Tom not only became a rock star.
What?
Not only became a rock, he legit rock star.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, like, legit. I mean, like oh yeah. Oh yeah.
MTV.
Yeah.
But even in high school, and you weren't around for this either. Remember, like Bridalwood.
Yeah, I remember Bridalwood.
There'd be keggers or whatever. Willie Ruples. Old coach or
Willie
whatever.
Willie Ruples, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
He would be, his band would be performing. Everyone would be ignoring it. But continue.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was awkward when I knew him, but he was still always a good friend of ours. And he would go to the bourgeois for the bourgeois, like,
oh,
Christmas parties.
You know I got love for the bourgeois.
Yeah, you do.
I mean,
yeah.
The one time I had any kind of girl experience, it was that Vietnamese girl from Ramona. Nooksy. So shout out to Nooksy.
Brother Noomsy.
Yeah, Nooksy hooked Nooksy. It up. Nooksy hooked it up. Oh. We went to the beach, bonfire, and he lined it up for me.
He did not.
But that was like my scene. It was too late by then.
It's too late.
Yeah, it was just like a make-out session or whatever. Yeah, but so bourgeois, Steve Bourgeois, this house in high school was his parents were, his mom was never around.
No.
It was the party house.
Party house in the trails.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the place to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was our second home. Either Nooksy lived there, dude. He lived
know,
on the bottom
so
floor.
The way the house was set up, you know, you had the upstairs, but the downstairs had a pool table, guest room, bar area, and it was literally like our bar or like our
place. It was our place.
Like our, you know,
that's where
like,
we all met up. Anyone was going to be doing anything, that's where we met up. Let's just meet up at Bourgeois' house. We'll figure it out. Whatever.
And
it
then
is.
You know, you show up and Glenn would already be drinking a Mickey's 40.
Sure, you bet.
Do you remember that night he beat up Kyle Cachel?
He beat up a few people. He had some anger issues. He punched in walls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Glenn was, you know,
shout
back then,
Glenn.
You know, he was a Filipino dude. Love you, Glenn. But back then, even back then he was pretty yoked. But I remember we were playing pool. You know, Kyle was a class under us.
Under us,
he
yeah.
was a junior.
Surfer,
yeah,
surfer.
He was a surfer dude.
Yeah.
But he was flapping his mouth. Shit. And I just remember Glenn... All four walls he slammed him on. Boom. Like,
wow.
Yeah, it was like a movie, dude. He was like, boom, boom, boom. And then he had him on top of the pool table.
Scary.
And I was just like, whoa, Glenn's like, that was a loyal friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so you left. Did you? You didn't go to Abraxas, did you?
No, I went to a prep school in Connecticut. Like, I disappeared. I ghosted you guys. Like one night, you guys were, I swear to God, I remember the moment. That was like, I was leaving the next day and everyone was at Round Table Pizza hacky sacking in the back. For some reason, hacky sack was a thing.
Steve
and you guys
was so good at that.
And everyone was in the back of Round Table at that back parking lot hacky sacking. I was like, peace out, I'm gone, and took off. And I
really?
Was
yeah.
And I'd come back for my breaks and stuff and meet up with you guys. But
that was such a, you know, like if you look at any like movie from the 80s, like the Plaza for us was like it.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Yeah. I just remember that Save On.
Yeah.
Do you remember Yogurt Mill?
Oh, yeah.
Yogurt Mill.
Denny's.
Do you remember Miller's Outpost?
Oh, I do remember Miller's Outpost.
Describe what's Miller. What was
Miller's Outpost? It's the only
place. This is going back to 1980. Hold up. This is going back to 1982.
All right. So Miller's Outpost was the before they had like malls. Like we didn't have the North County Fair or anything.
No.
So the only place you could go to get your school gear. Is and everyone went there was Miller's Outpost.
You get your Jimmy Z's there, your Panama Jack t-shirts.
Yeah, everything.
Your Rip Curl.
Gotchas.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then they had this is monumental. They had one of the first Ben and Jerry's.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Right near Round Table.
They did on the end.
Yeah, but I love Round Table because this is before gaming consoles, but there was an arcade.
There was. I think there still is.
But they
I think
had
they still have Mortal.
I
think they still have Mortal Kombat in there.
I remember Street Fighter.
Dude, bro, you guys in Street Fighter, you and Joe On and like John
Joe
Lee
Cruz,
and
Joe Cruz.
Damn.
Do you remember he organized a tournament?
What?
At that, it was an arcade
Up on the hill by RB High.
By RB High.
Yeah, they had a long row. I'd always go in there. You guys would just be in there playing. I'm like, what is this, dude? What is
you
this?
Remember that?
Yeah.
Wasn't there an Italian restaurant?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. It's still there.
Yeah.
Dude, I delivered pizzas for them for a little while.
Oh, we used to hang out there all the time. Oh. God, what was that name of the... It was right by RB High.
The Graziano's?
Graziano's. Yeah, Graziano's.
Shit.
Do you remember my cousin Eddie? Shout out to my cousin Eddie.
What's up, cousin Eddie? I don't
know. He was a class behind us.
I don't know if
but
I remember.
But he remembers
him.
You. And does he? Because I said, yeah, Scotty.
Oh, like, I'm sure I remember him if I saw him.
Yeah, but even after we like when I was cutting weight, like all the homies, like everyone looked out for him. Like no one would fuck with Eddie.
God, nice.
Yeah. But that's cool. So we graduated and then we linked up later. I went to Arizona State. You went to University of Arizona.
Yes.
I remember being at my dorm, and you were waiting for me for hours in the lobby. Do you remember that?
I remember that. I remember going up there. It was Halloween, and we went to some Halloween parties up there.
Yeah.
And we were just so out of place.
And I remember visiting you. You were nowhere to be found one time. I don't think I was. I was coming announced. But I was there. I'm like,
Were you with Sean Navarro coming down?
Or just no, you? I was with my skateboarding homies.
You were skateboarding when you came down.
So, but then I actually remember like going to your dorm room, but you were like probably with some girl. I don't know where you were.
Who knows, man?
What was that experience at U of A like?
U of A was just a whirlwind. I lasted 1 year there and they kicked me out. That was it.
What?
Yeah. I joined a fraternity. Partied. Delta Chi.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Delta Chi. I didn't end up staying with them, you know.
Yeah, parties.
Yeah, parties. Just parties.
Just mad. Do you remember those? I mean, like at ACA, it was just like like trash cans full of Keystone. Yes. Beer.
Yeah, just the parties at like university level are just on a whole nother level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just is.
Now, did you like? So what'd you do after, like, did you live out there in Tucson? Like,
So I stayed there. I came back to San Diego and went to Palomar.
Oh, shout out to Palomar.
Palomar.
My brother went there.
Yeah, a lot of people went there.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did a few years there and then went back.
That was near Grossmont? Was that near?
No, Palomar is like in Escondido.
Escondido. San Marcos. Yeah.
And then went back to... the University of Arizona, and it just school wasn't my thing, bro. Just was hard to get through that.
Yeah.
So ended up staying out in Tucson for like 7 years.
You did?
Yeah.
What are you doing out there?
Fucking around.
Really?
Just fucking around.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
When did you, because I want to get your art eventually. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, can I display some?
Go for it, bro.
I mean, this is just beautiful stuff. I mean, Randy, are you getting this? I mean, as kids, we dabbled in it a little.
Yeah, Anthony did.
Yeah, Anthony.
Anthony was really good. He was good at everything.
Because you've actually really advanced in.
Quite a bit.
Really impressive stuff.
Thank you.
I love the fact that you do a lot of the stuff. You brought up a good, but we never grew up.
No. If you look at. Like there was a breaking point, I look at Jim Gassetti and I remember seeing him with his wedding.
He's probably a millionaire.
Oh yeah, I think he is.
Yeah,
And Joe On, like those guys, or even like Steve Bourgeois, he's a family.
He was a firefighter.
He's a family man out in Colorado, still doing good. He's still shout out Steve Bourgeois. If you watch this man, aces.
Mm-hmm.
Kasner is still a kid. He's a teacher out in overseas, in Japan.
I always love Steve Kasner.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Yeah. Living the dream
Dusty
out there.
Dusty Brazil is a real estate agent.
He hits me up every once in a while.
You remember Dusty? Yeah. Shout out to Dusty Brazil.
Shout out to Dusty. He hits me up every once in a while.
Do you remember Artesian?
Oh, it's Artesian? Yeah, that ended up being a place for a while, too.
Wait, hold up. So we partied at several different places. Old Coach Road.
Yes.
Now that's filled with houses, you know that. That's what someone told me.
Well, that's it's where like LaDainian Tomlinson lives.
Yeah, so back then the way we did it, we would find one of us would have a fake ID. right.
Yeah.
Sean had one.
Yeah, Sean. Yeah.
And there was a liquor store near his part.
Yeah.
Like
PQ somewhere.
Yeah. near the other side of Poway.
Yeah, yeah.
But we would find a dirt road, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're not wrong.
We find a dirt road, get as many 40 ounces.
Yeah.
And we would just
stand there and drink.
Yeah, just drink.
Just drink, yeah.
Right?
That's it. Yeah, no house party. Just stand around and drink in dirt lots or whatever we could find.
Yeah, but I should be dead right now with Paul Paul Rudrick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Paul was a surfer.
Mm-hmm. Seth Libre. Yeah, Seth Libre. Seth Libre. Slash Libre.
Yeah. Like he talked like that. But keep in mind, in high school, there was like, it was like your typical, like, different sections. There's the surfer corner,
mm-hmm.
the jocks,
mm-hmm.
the freshmen. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was like that.
Yeah.
He was a part of the, more of the surfing crowd.
Yeah, he was.
But I don't know if you remember this. I was into, I'm embarrassed to say it now because I've interviewed surfers on here, like legit, like pro, whatever.
Yeah.
But I was in. Remember my boogie boarding?
Oh no! Yeah, 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 no, yeah. You guys were way into that on 19th Street, Del Mar. Dude, we had like, dude, we would go like roll deep over to Del Mar, man.
Oh yeah,
like convoys of people.
Why is it? Is it Poway tradition? Because it was just.
It was.
The rule was just laid upon us when we were in junior high. Like when you get into high school, this is. In Del Mar, you could only go here.
That's it. 19th Street was the only place
that Poway,
kids from Poway could go. There's hundreds of other streets.
Streets, but
and
no,
the beach
you,
is huge, but
you,
that's it.
That's where, that was our designated area.
Yeah.
So anyway, we were going to the beach. Artesian was a shortcut back then.
Yeah,
was. You know, going through Parma Mountain,
yeah,
and
yeah,
you would cut
yeah,
through.
Yeah.
And do you remember my dad had a white van with no, there was no other seat. It was just like the driving seat was in there. It was for his clothes. It was like a white Toyota standard, like just a, like a van. I don't know if you remember, but
yeah,
I remember it.
Yeah.
And Paul, me and Paul were in there and then we're driving and he goes, dude, do some fishtails, bro. He was like, do some fishtails. And then I go, dude. And I'm like, what? He's like, go for it, dude. Get fucking gnarly, dude. And so I just start speeding up on the accelerator. And I just went, and I start doing fishtails.
Oh, God.
And this is a dirt road. I mean, barbed wire fences.
On both sides, yeah.
On both sides.
Yes.
Dude, I caught an edge. The van. Like did a whole, it rolled.
Rolled?
Yeah, and then it ended up on one of the sides where I was on top and he was at the bottom. And then I just remember, like, not a scratch on us. We could have died.
You guys got lucky,
and I
man.
Just remember him going, dude, that was gnarly, dude.
Totally.
Gnarly to the max, dude. And I was just like, dude, like, and I just remember, there's no one around. But this, it was like a tow truck just happened to drive the, it looked like one of Jesus's disciples. Like it was just a godsend that this fucking dude happened to drive by, and we were like fucked up.
Dude, that's how it works, you know.
Yeah.
Dude, you're watched after. You know that, right? I've had you in the car before. Where we've been coming out, I can't remember either. We were running from something, and we were in the Blazer. I think it was just you and I were in there, and you were in the front seat, and we pulled out, and
well,
we were over in Rancho. Oh, this is in high school,
okay,
or maybe
okay,
I was back from school.
Yeah.
And we've spun that thing like all the way around, and like we were stopped like backwards in the middle of the street. I'd done something really stupid, but. I mean, it was like a really close call, and you were like, bro, we should be dead right now. Bro, we should be dead. I was like, fuck.
Shit.
Yeah, dude, like, someone's watching out for him, man. So I like hanging around him.
Yeah.
Anything dangerous, go out with this guy.
Well, you know,
you'll survive.
We've been through a lot. I didn't even get to this. What about this? There was a time after high school, we kind of got into a rave kind of a scene.
I got into a rave kind of scene for like 8 years deep.
Shout out to Justin Oschlag.
Shout out Justin Oschlag.
For that. I mean, Let's talk about that. Like, how did the hell did we get into the scene?
Dude, it was literally, do you remember, so Nooksie and Justin lived with Steve Kasner, Bourgeois, and...
In Mira Mesa?
Yeah, Mira Mesa, yeah, in that house on the hill, right? Yeah. Kind of cool house.
Yeah.
They had a lot of good parties.
I was impressed. I'm like, oh, they have their own house now.
You were a dirty little man, dude. You watched me have sex in that house.
I did?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't getting it myself. No, I was of course, I was a voyeur.
So,
of course.
So, but Justin lived there, and Nooksie took me and Justin to a rave, and then that was like it. I was hooked on those beats, man.
Yeah, they got into the records, and not only that, the drugs.
Oh, yeah. The drugs.
I just remember being in that house on like a head full of acid.
Dude,
in
the drugs.
One of their rooms, and me just tripping out, like looking at the ceiling.
Yeah.
And just tripping out.
Did you do mushrooms with this?
I did LSD. Yeah. I did all kinds of shit with you guys.
Yeah.
All kinds of shit.
Yeah.
Maybe we even went to a couple of LA raves even back then, driving up.
Was Sean Navarro?
Yeah, me and Sean, or Larry.
Yeah.
You remember his brother Larry?
Yeah, I do. He was a little hardcore. Devo.
Oh, yeah.
He was.
Yeah, not only that, they were.
He was out there on acid, man.
Yeah, he was into b-boying. Like, yeah. I didn't even know he break. He was a b-boy. Yeah. And then at a rave, like, do you remember Distillery?
Yeah.
That club in Escondido.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we would just be going there.
Do you remember Nooksie threw his own raves in
did?
Yeah, the Poway, he had one at the Poway ice rink up on the hill, and then he had one at the roller rink in Escondido.
What?
Dude, we went for years, bro. Like, we just kept going. I even took Joe On and Jim Gassetti to one over in Coachella before it was Coachella.
Were they doing acid?
No, they were hiding in a tent. They went to sleep, and we all just stayed up, like, partied all night, you know?
You guys were probably candy flipping.
Oh, whatever we could get our hands on, you know? Yeah. And they came out in the morning, they were like, can we go home?
I just remember one DJ that comes to mind is, like, Simply Jeff.
Yes!
Yeah, do you remember?
Get the fuck out, man!
I just remember, like, there's different, like, in the rave culture, there's different genres even in that.
Yeah.
But I remember I love electro breakbeat.
Yeah, dude, you got it, man. Hey, look at you.
I just found. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I looked, and I found him again, Simply Jeff, and I started, like, listening to his stuff, like, on YouTube and stuff, just listening to his old beats.
Yeah, but
and stuff.
I just remember back then, I'm like, oh, this guy's cool. And then later I got into, like, DJ Shadow and all that stuff.
But I just remember back then,
because those guys.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We're getting vinyl. I just remember at their houses they would have turntables set up.
Yeah.
Everyone would be dosing and some of them got in trouble later, I think. Didn't Hoshlag get in trouble or
yeah. He got in so much trouble. I got in trouble with them, dude. He and I went down.
So that there's a lesson to be learned.
There's a lesson to be learned. Stay away from meth.
Stay away from drugs.
Stay away from drugs.
Yeah, stay away from drugs.
Just stay away from them.
Yeah. So
yeah, that was just a rough patch. It was about 10 years ago. Justin and I always hung out, and that, like, Justin, he always had a house and cars and stuff like that, but he just eventually kind of lost it all, like, you know, gambling, drugs, things like that.
Damn.
Yeah, it sucked. But he and I had a healthy stint together, and he ended up, doing some time for like 3 years.
What?
Yeah.
That breaks my heart because...
Dude, it breaks everyone's heart.
Hold up, but you said Justin Hoshlag, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but we grew up with him since Painted Rock Elementary School, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, he was in, like, second grade.
Oh, bro. Yeah, yeah.
With us. You, me, yeah, Anthony, yeah, Brian, yeah, Neitz, yeah, you know, yeah, Brian Neitz.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Justin's still, his parents still live next door to Anthony and the Neitzes. Boom, boom, boom.
How do we locate Anthony Lee?
He's out there. He's probably listening.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I don't know, because we lost. The last time I saw him, I was living in Echo Park, Silver Lake area, and him and Navarro drove out to come check me out. But his life drastically changed.
He did. He's got kids, right?
He's got a son. He had a son back then.
But yeah. So I don't know. He'll pop up on social media every once in a while, but yeah. Anthony Lee would be a fun one to get in.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. He was the thing about him, he was like ahead of his time too. We didn't even talk about fashion. Like the guy,
dude.
He was a ladies' man. He was dressed the part. I mean, every clothing, I would get jealous. I'd be in his room going through his shit, and I'm like,
trying to dress like him.
Me too. Well, I was Asian trying to be dressed like him.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
no.
I was like, where'd you get these shoes? Where'd you get... Do you remember the store called Behind the Post Office?
Yeah, kind of.
Downtown San Diego.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I remember they brought me, it was like a graffiti kind of hip hop.
Yeah.
But the con art, they had like these cool con art shirts, yeah. And I remember them... Like, I didn't even know what to get. They got, like, even fashion, they were, like, ahead of their time.
Way ahead.
I was just like, they're like, oh, I'm getting this. And I'm just like, oh, I guess I'll get this, you know.
Dude.
Him and Sean.
Yeah. D'Anthony would have, like, I remember coming back, like, his senior year. And, like, I was like, I saw him in a, he had dyed his hair, like, orange or something. And he had a Oakland Athletics jersey on with, like khaki shorts. And green fucking Vans that matched.
Fila's
it. I was like,
shit.
Son of a bitch. Yeah, God damn, that's a good look. And, like, and I was like, now I'm all J. Crew because I'm back east. I'm like, oh, fuck, dude. What am
but
I
even back then, remember Gerbeau's? Like he had every color, like Gerbeau. He had every color. You remember like in 92, it was like L.A. gear, like the whole, the fucking Timberland kind of sporty. Sneaker boot.
Yeah.
Like, he had all those.
All of that, man. Even his haircuts, everything he did, man.
Everything he did was just, he was just so cool. We didn't finish the time. Okay, hold up. Listen, I didn't want to skip
whatever
around.
You want to.
When did you realize, oh, Tom made it? Going back to Blink 182 and Tom. Sorry, guys.
Dude, no. When he actually, I ran into Tom at Steve Bourgeois' Christmas party. And he was touring with Pennywise and all these other bands. And I was like, hey, that's kind of cool, you know? Like, I don't know who those guys are, really. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't really
only
into...
on major record labels.
Yeah, I really didn't know who they were. And so, but he was saying he was having a good time, and he looked healthy, and it was great. And then Enema of the State came out. I think that's their...
I don't know. Is there the third, fourth
that
album?
That was their first album.
That was their first album.
I think it was. Yeah, the one with like All the Small Things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And great song, by
the way. Yeah. Yeah. And I remember seeing them on their video, and I was like, son of a bitch. Hey.
On MTV.
On MTV, yeah.
So MTV for us back then, before internet radio, before record stores, before any of this.
Yeah.
MTV was the only way you got your music.
Yeah.
It was like you heard it first from MTV. It was a show. A network on television.
Yeah.
Music television.
It was called Music Television.
It was called Music Television. They would break all the music videos. They'd have little genre, like The Cutting Edge, where it was like mostly alternative rock. They had Yo MTV Raps.
Yeah.
Me and Anthony, every day at 4:30, would go
to Yo MTV Raps.
Yeah, we would
sure.
go to his house
and
watch it.
Yeah.
But I just remember, okay, so now I'm gonna add to the story.
Sure.
When I was at Arizona State, Jimmy... And Glenn came to visit me when I lived in a small-ass dorm room.
Oh, I remember that dorm room.
No, this was even smaller. You went to Saguaro. This is the Ocotillo one. This is the one the size of my bathroom. And I remember they were all like, we're all shacked up. But I remember they had CDs of Blink 182. And they went, Steve, look. It had the one with the cat on it. I think that was the first one.
That must have been their first one, yeah.
Yeah.
The Cheshire Cat on it or something like that. Yeah.
I'm like,
oh, yeah, the cat.
The cat.
Just a cat on it,
yeah. But I remember seeing that. I go, what's this? They go, it's Tom, bro. I go,
yeah.
He's a rock star. Yeah, I'm like, he's a rock star. I'm like, what? He He's on MTV, bro.
He's like, he was on, not only on MTV, but he was on the kids' Teen Choice Awards. Like,
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he did all those. Like, he was on the MTV Awards. Like, they really hit it big. And you know what?
How did they even get around? I'm just confused. Because, like, let's describe where we're from.
We're Poway from Poway.
Is a community in North County, a smaller community.
Very small. It's tiny.
There is no...
How we ever survived there.
The only other band reminiscent, Unwritten Law.
Unwritten Law?
That was the only other band. And they were on a smaller... Not as big as what Blink became.
Or Dishwater.
All right. Or Jewel. I know Jewel has history around Poway, too. We don't have to get into Jewel. But you remember those stories of Jewel.
Yeah.
But it just kind of... It blew my mind, like, what the fuck? Like, because that was... I think... Out of the history of Poway, he's the big, I mean.
I think so. Yeah, there's nothing else like him that came out of there. You know, when it happened is when he went to RB High and he met the other guys. That's when that happened.
Wait, he transferred?
Yeah, when that school split, he was one of the people that went. He transferred over there.
You know what my cousin said, Eddie? He was like, you know, all the girls went to RB. Why'd you guys stay at Poway? Not that it would have affected me because I was going to Christian camps.
It was true. I mean, they took a lot from us.
But he said, shout out to Eddie. He's like, dude, RB, that's where. So he went to RB, Rancho Bernardo.
Mm.
Yeah. Do you remember Rancho Arbolitos Tennis Country Club?
No.
It was near. Palmerado Road.
Yeah.
You remember that Little Caesars Pizza? There's a Albertsons. There's a Penguin's Yogurt Shop.
Yeah.
That's where Tom lived. And
You remember? I've been to his house. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you've been to his house. Yeah. It was near the tennis court or the country club.
Yeah.
But I remember well this moment where he's like, meet me out front. Albertsons will skate the red curbs. Because he skated even back then.
Mm-hmm.
He was friends with Rich Salo, Dan Rogers, who was pro. And we were skating the curb, and he's like, hey, you want to come over after? And I went over to his house. I don't know if you know this, but, dude, he was highly, like, his mom and, like, it was just his mom and him and, you know, Sean Kitchen. But they're really into religion. And I remember, I think we ate dinner, but before that, like, she was speaking in tongues on my head.
Get the fuck out.
She was like, oh, is it like a little bit of a little bit of a little bit of a you know, I was tripping out.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, shit. Like, Tom's family is, like, awesome.
Well, you know, Tom is, you can hear him, like, on Coast to Coast.
Super into UFOs.
He's really into that stuff. And not in a bad way. Like, he's just really into that.
He wasn't like that in high school, though, right?
Well, he's always, you know, you're always going to be a little off. And then once you have, like, the amount of success he had and did Angels and Airwaves. Like,
We didn't even throw that in.
No, he came up with his own successful group after that and was like, well, I mean, it's a success.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how you look at it, Angels and Airwaves was a success. And so he can kind of kick back and do what he wants now. And, like,
he have, like, a nonprofit to the Stars Academy or something like that?
Could be. I don't know.
I mean, I saw him on Joe Rogan. I'm like, dude, that's crazy. So, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
If you're watching this, you know, we remember you.
We love you, bro.
From our childhood. I know we're older now, but how cool would it be if Tom came?
Tom,
always welcome here. We would love to have you. We're going to get into your artwork next. Shout out to Blink 182.
Blink 182.
Listen to their stuff. Dude, I'm highly impressed. Like, let's go back, because this is the main, I wanted to catch up with you, obviously, because you're like family.
Sure, yeah.
But when did you really get into art the way it is now? I mean, look how you've come a long way here.
So what happened was, is I got sober, you know?
Really?
Yeah, I had a judge that, you know, set me down.
Because, you know, I'm sober too.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk
later. We'll talk later. We'll talk later. Okay, we'll talk later.
You know, Bill.
Okay.
So, I had a judge suggest to me that, you know, I go to rehab or I go to jail. And I was like, well, rehab sounds great, my friend. So,
was this a DUI? Like, what led to this? You don't have to. I mean, I don't want you to incriminate yourself.
No, I had a rough spell for about 11 months, and I you know, was only self-harming.
You're on a bender?
Oh, yeah. Super bender. And I kept getting picked up, but it was only self-harm, not hurting anyone else besides, you know, family and things like that. Yeah, you know, I wasn't really, you know, going down that, like, I wasn't, you know, robbing, stealing or anything like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was just on a, you know, fuck everyone. But the cops, you know, would gently come and get me all the time. And then I'd bond out, bail out. It took me years to pay
this
that
off. This
is
in Poway?
All over San Diego.
All over San Diego.
And so that went on for about a year. But then once I sobered up, you know, got working again, reconnected with my family, things started going well. And, you know, I started doing art again. And I worked for, you remember Bill Scheer?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Bill Scheer. I just remember the guy, like, playing basketball.
Dude, Bill Scheer is a mad scientist, bro.
Right, I mean, bro, he was I always got along with Bill Scheer.
He is so far ahead of
Bill
everyone.
Lundy, too.
Bill Lundy.
He's another big
That's the big one. And Charlie Hoffman.
Let me stick to Bill. Yep. Bill Lundy, PGA.
PGA, yeah.
Professional golfer.
Yep.
All right, continue.
So, I worked for Bill Scheer for a couple years. He gave me a job and managed one of his offices, and they let me put up art in their, fill up their walls. And I did like my first art show in San Diego, and one of the artists there gave me a phone call like the next week and said, "Hey, do you want to join me at my booth and at San Diego Comic Con?" So I went from nothing to the largest scale convention for artwork that I do in the world, like overnight.
Just meeting the right person.
Meeting the right people, being at the right place at the right time. But that's all that plan. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking upon like the spiritual.
Yeah, just doing the right things.
A spiritual plan.
Yes.
And just doing the right thing.
Yeah, and that shit will just unfold, right?
Yeah.
So, and it just keeps unfolding. I have a lot of success. I've, I work with a couple of the best artists in the business.
It's crazy.
So everything they know, I know. And like they are very, they're open to teach me. I have a manager now that takes care of my shout out to the Dog and Dragon. What's up, guys?
I love it.
Shout out Neri. Shout out Rob Pryor, Naomi. Shout out Cam. Shout out Rob Pryor Studios. The Dog and Dragon, Heather Edwards, Caitlin, and my manager who takes care of all my stuff, Alexander.
It's beautiful.
Guys.
I mean, how long, what the process of improving in art, like, can you kind of talk upon that?
Like, honestly.
Because this is really detailed shit you're doing now.
Yeah, I went from like
with different mediums and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, so I went from acrylic work using like canvases, and I'm not super good at it, so I got to hide it. So like, it just kind of like,
no,
just kind of hide it.
Yeah.
And so Rob Pryor taught me how to use a medium called gouache, which is watercolor based. And so, and it's just on paper. And so I paint, like, the paintings are, you know, roughly like, you know, I don't know, man, size of this area behind you. They're really big. I get to paint Star Wars. I get to paint anime. I get to paint everything that I like to paint. I get to paint it. I'm working on cars now. We're doing the SEMA
awesome,
car
dude.
Show
so
out in Las Vegas.
This is great shit.
Yeah,
man.
You know, it's.
Would you say your sobriety has something to do with this as well?
Fuck yeah, bro.
Because, I mean, I'm just gonna add to your good news. It's like when I chose to get sober. Like, dude, I met Money Mark and Dave Cho. Bob brought me to this podcast. We ended up touring. And you know how much of a Beastie Boys fan I am. And I grew up with it.
Yeah.
You know, and then to end up doing music with like a
dude
in their band.
Dude,
you know
let's just like go back to you really quick. And I really just want to.
No, though, this
tell
is going back
how,
to my sobriety, though. Like,
yeah.
I have 12 years for me. I mean, I've relapsed after two.
But you have how many years do you
12.
Have? 12. 12? Okay, I have 7. I relapsed after 1 on weed.
Yeah, me too.
My sponsor was like...
I relapsed after 2 off weed when I lived in the other...
Did you start over?
Well, I was out there. I was on a bender for a couple months. But then I... You know, this is the thing about sobriety is even someone could have been, because my brother tried for years, like, dude, you got to get sober, dude. Got it. But it's like, unless that's a personal, like, you need that moment of clarity where you're just sick of living that way. I was sick of like throwing up and sick of being hungover. I was just sick of all that. And then my decisions that, like, I was making some bad choices. You want to add on to that?
Yes. I mean, everything that once I got sober, everything just started working the right direction. All my dreams, everything I wanted to do actually happened. Like, everything. Like, not in the doses where you're like, up here, you know.
Yeah, but
everything, like,
everyone has their own.
Yeah, like, kind of like experience. All my dreams were answered, right? And so now I just got to build on those things and make them bigger, right? Mm-hmm. And I always told you this, that how proud I was of what you've done, you know, with your career in such a hard field. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, content is never ending as well.
Right,
so.
But you're that's this. But your music. You never gave up on your music, and that blew me away.
No.
I remember you were writing constantly. When I come up to see you up at ASU, you had your notes out.
Even back then?
Yeah, you were just scribbling, you know, trying to get rhymes out. And to see that you're still doing that, and you're in a successful band.
Yeah, I mean, we're on a hiatus right now, but, like, look, we toured East Coast, West Coast, Canada. We opened up for Deltron. We opened up for fucking Diane. We did some cool shit. Yeah. Did a thing in like, all these things are a direct result.
Sober.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because if I wasn't sober, then my brother wouldn't have brought me to that podcast. If I wasn't sober, then I wouldn't have shown up to go to Big Bear to what became this album, the Monchi album, recorded that with Dave and Mark and the rest of the bandmates. There are so many instances as far as life events where I'm just like, because this is what it happens when you get sober. At least what I've been taught is you show up. That's why now it makes sense, because you showed up early today. Usually people are late, but it's like, oh, Scott's here like 10 minutes early. But so they taught me to not only show up, but to stay out of the results.
Yeah.
So it's basically an action oriented kind of program.
It is. I know what I'm saying? I like that you get this out of that. I do the same thing. I don't beat that book.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't hit a ton of meetings all the time.
Me neither, dude.
But I live what they say. You know, I live how you're supposed to live that way. But it's action oriented. And if you just...
You can't think your way out of the box. You know, as they say, you can't think your way out. You have to, like...
Showing up. But
you have to show up.
But all you do
is
show
huge.
Up. But that's huge. But you can do that now, sober. Whatever the consequences of showing up, whatever comes of that, of you showing up.
Again, this is going back to staying out of the results. That's not what our job is. Our job only is just to show up and be clear-headed, and whatever happens, happens. But look, I mean, this could transfer over to any scenario. Like, let's say you had a hangover, but then the next day you had a meeting that could have possibly turned into a great career or something, let's say.
Yeah.
But then you're throwing up, you have diarrhea, and you're like, oh, I'm not showing up, bro.
Yeah.
You just missed out on life.
You could have just
missed out on life, period. Right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is not saying once you get sober, everything's going to be like rainbow sprinkles and fucking sunrise.
But you can handle it.
But not only that, I don't have a drug or alcohol to see. What I realized through sobriety is alcohol and drugs, that wasn't my problem. That was my solution. Whenever I felt uncomfortable, discontent, irritable, give me that beer, dude. Yeah. Give me that Heineken. You know, give me that blunt.
I'm nervous.
Yeah. So once for me that stopped working, then I'm like, because I know with your journey, I know damn well you went through this, where the first couple months were hard. For me, it was.
Yeah.
I was hitting 1, 2, 3 meetings a day.
Oh, yeah.
And then between the meetings, I was at a Starbucks. I was drinking coffee with other people. All right, let's go to this other midnight meeting. Like, I needed that kind of structure at the beginning.
Yeah.
But then through that process, look, it's abnormal for a human not to feel things. So what are you doing when you're taking drugs and alcohol? You're like, you're basically cheating that.
Yeah, you're cheating the system, kind of.
You're not feeling. You're not feeling that pain that you would normally need to feel to grow as a person. And that's why, in a way, you know, you're like, oh, we never grow up. But then we never even brought up the fact that, well, of course, like, we were loaded half the time. More than half the time.
Look at through our 20s when a lot, like, and I go back to, like, people like Gussetti and Joanne and them. Through their
20s. He was doing business meetings.
They just went a whole different route, you know? And for me, I was just like, let's keep the party going, right?
Let's keep it going.
I'll have a job. I'll have a full-time job.
Oh, yeah.
But I will party all night and then go to that job still high on something, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just a mess.
So, dude, that trips me out. I didn't know the extent. I never asked, but, dude, like, that really makes me happy that you decided to do that. Like,
yeah, I mean, it was a judge that
I know,
helped me,
but maybe that needed to. That's my point. Some things need to happen. Yeah. Like, you need to reach your quote unquote bottom.
Yeah,
everyone's bottom's different. Mm-hmm. To get to the point where you make that life changing decision, that conscious decision to be like, you know, I'm cool with that. You know what I'm saying?
I like this side.
Oh,
this
yeah,
side, this side's just a I whole nother trip, bro.
I mean, look at the colors. I mean. This is just, you know, this is like whatever you're going through is vibrating on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The palette here.
It wouldn't happen if it wasn't.
I know it wouldn't. It could, but it wouldn't be as good as what you're doing now.
No, I have stuff from when I was loaded doing that stuff and thinking I was going to be like this artist. You know, the dreams were there, right? The dreams were there. But actually, like showing up is the craziest thing. Like,
yeah,
huge. If you're not showing up, you miss those opportunities.
Oh, huge.
Whether you know it or not, you know?
Yeah, it's huge. Not only that, sometimes in life, like, you need to let go of shit. You can't have an attachment to shit. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, there was a time before I went to that podcast, before the band, and I was working at a sandwich shop. And this was me and my, like, maybe I was in my 30s. I don't know. I was in my 30s, and I was working. I was washing dishes, and I was bagging meat, and I was making milkshakes. And just for the mere fact that – and I gave up. This is what happened. I did one last solo EP called Duraflame Pencil. You know, I'm throwing the pencil into the flame. I'm done with it. And I gave up on music. Like, I did give up. I'm like, I'm done with this. No one's buying my shit. No one even cares. No one knows. You know what I mean? And so, but this is what happened. When I consciously made that decision where I'm like, all right, universe, or because I believe in God. I don't want to label it. But I'm like, all right, I'm letting that go. You know, I'm in my 30s. Like, you know, whatever. I'm letting it go. But guess what happened? By me closing that door, all this shit opened up. Me meeting all these people and touring and recording like a real record, you know, where they put it on vinyl. And so it basically, my point, this is like, there's a theme to this. It's like, sometimes in life you gotta like let things go completely. A new door might open up, my friend, you know, like that.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, the way it happened, I couldn't have planned that.
Nope.
Cause like us as addicts and shit, like we wanna like hold on to shit and be like, no, it's gotta be fucking this way. It's this album, it's this fucking artwork, this is what's got to sell.
Yeah.
And then that's it. But then what I'm saying is like, no, you have to let that completely go. And I give up. But look what happened.
Boom.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what happens all the time in this. But I'm not saying your life becomes perfect, but guess what? We now at least have tools where I don't have to rely on a drug or a substance to get through that.
Dude,
I could
you
like.
You and I are on the same.
I know, I know. Thing. I have to call people. Like, let's say, because dude, it's not like. Look, I'm an alcoholic, right?
Yeah.
I like doing other things, right? I can't do any of it, but I still have urges. Like, I'll be at Ralph's, and if I want a cold, like they have this cold Coca-Cola. You could get the Mexican.
Yeah,
Coke
yeah.
at the end of the liquor aisle.
Yeah.
You don't think sometimes I walk by the liquor aisle and I'm looking at a cold Corona, you know?
Yeah.
I'll like look and be like, oh.
Corona?
Yeah, or whatever.
No,
or
you
whatever.
Said Corona.
I said Corona, but why does that?
For some, that was my drink of choice, the oddest thing in the world. That's why.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we drink plenty together. Yeah. Mickey's, whatever. Or Heineken.
Yeah.
But, you know, my point being is, and not only that, dude, you know how much we love weed.
Mm-hmm.
I love weed.
I love weed.
And now we're in a time where
It's
I could go right near 7-Eleven and there's a dispensary and I could get. Do you know how much? How long you've been sober?
It's 8 years. So seven, but then eight. So I just had my seventh year. I had to skip a year because I took
it's
a
okay.
hit.
It's okay. Yeah. But weed's changed.
Yeah.
You say?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Let me rephrase. Weed's changed since we were kids, right? Or
oh,
high
yeah.
school.
Oh yeah.
A great
deal. Pharmaceutical now, man. It's.
That's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't be able
so
to handle
that's
it.
Even more of a temptation. Like I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, they got cookies now, dude. They got pineapple flavor and all this, but I just can't.
You can't. You know yourself, right? Yeah.
Cause, dude, you know how I am. It's kind of like, it's like getting a cheese, like a burger without the cheese. Like I like cheeseburgers. It's like beer and weed. Like a cheeseburger to me. I can't just have the beef patty. I need the cheese. You know. So if I do one, like that's how I relapse. I relapsed fucking, either on I smoked a joint first, but then I'm like, fuck it.
Let's have a beer.
Because that's the thing. Our addiction doesn't leave us. It's like, dude, it's there still. Because it lives in our mind. It's in our mind, right? Yeah. So once I had crossed that line, like, oh, I'm no longer sober. I just lost my sobriety. I just had the fuck it thought. I'm like, fuck it. Give me that Negro Modelo. I'm taking that to the head.
Yeah.
This is going back to the cheese. Like, it's if I can't have one without the other.
But you and I speak the same language.
Oh, for sure.
My alcoholism is, I didn't know I was an alcoholic until I realized that if I take a drink or if I get drunk, I drink to get drunk, right? I don't drink for the pleasure of, oh, it's just a nice on my palate. Just
that's
nice
why I don't do O'Doul's.
Right?
I don't do the O'Doul shit.
I drink
I
to
could.
Get drunk. What happens when I get drunk? I want other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That cycle. I was like, oh, I am an alcoholic. Oh, shit. Yeah. That's why I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah, like a person that's not an alcoholic never questions it. They could have a glass of wine with their Italian dinner.
Dude, what the fuck
or
is a
whatever.
Glass of wine?
They need two bottles.
They
won't even finish the glass of wine. They'll be like, oh, this is a great, pleasant dinner. With me, it's just like, no, I'm not. Not only that, there are times when I already drank at the bars. I already drank pints and pints and pints of beers. And then I'm like, last call. No, I need more. Like, this is after two, whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I need more. That's not normal, dude.
No.
That's not like, oh, you having a glass of wine with dinner. That's like, oh, you want to get like fucked up. And then through that, now you want a line of Coke. And then,
yeah.
Or you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Who's got shrooms?
You know?
So it just ends up like, oh man, it flew by, huh? I knew it'd fly by with you.
It was good.
You're always welcome too. But
thank
hold
you
up,
so
let's,
much.
No, we're not done yet. No. I want to go back to. I really want to shine light on your art.
Thank you.
How do people best support you right now through your artistic endeavors?
Well, you know, I do. So I'll just plug myself. You can go to. On Instagram, Scott Haddix artwork.
Can you spell that out? The Haddix, the Haddix
yes,
part.
S C O T T H A T T O X artwork.
Double T's,
and you can go to scotthaddixart.com to purchase things. It's a well designed website, but you can always DM me if you're interested in your own work. And
yeah, how do they get pricing? Either just through Instagram.
Yeah.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You'll see the pricing on scotthaddixart.com. But check this out. So on Wednesdays and Saturdays, I do live painting on Instagram.
I love your Insta lives, by the way.
It's kind of fun.
No, I love it. I love that you're doing. You have to do stuff like that, Scott. That's what I'm saying. You have to keep doing it.
You know Justin's brother Tyler,
well, the redheaded.
Yeah,
the ginger.
Yeah.
Oh,
ginger,
love that kid.
Right. So he and I got really close, and during
I love Tyler
COVID,
Horslock. Yeah, I remember him.
COVID. Tyler, shout out.
Shout out to Tyler.
He's gonna watch this, so I know he is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I remember the young Horslock.
He goes. He spins music. On a split screen with me.
He so had drum. You know what? No, I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah. I remember he was fucking with drum machines back then too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
he
what?
Stuck with it. He stayed with
it. I remember that because Sean was like, "Oh, I got to stop by Hoshla. Like, what are you going there for?"
Tyler.
He's like, "Yeah, well, Tyler's got this drum machine, this 808 thing. I'm going to borrow." I'm like, "He does that?
He's an engineer."
That's what. But this was back in the day. Mm-hmm. Like he was younger than how many? He was a lot younger.
He's a couple. He's like 3 years younger than
that's
us.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But anyways, he comes on, and we do music and live painting. So if you want to check out and see what it's all about, check it out.
What else? Website or anything?
Yeah, scotthaddocksart.com.
Can you plug your Instagram as well?
It's Scott Haddock's Artwork, at Scott Haddock's Artwork. That's about it.
That flew by, man. We could have talked another 5 hours. But like I said, you know what? For me, it's more satisfying. Like I interview interesting people all the time, but dude, like with me and you though, we have such a history. Cause it's like, that's like my childhood, dude.
Yeah.
Like you were there. Like you remember
oh,
my
we could
house.
Do this for hours.
Yeah.
Bro.
I mean, but do you remember, I remember
your
pool.
House.
I even remember your pool. One last story. I remember this is crazy. I remember you had a pool party. This is when
Molly
we were
Sanders?
Older. No,
oh.
But I remember, I was drinking Bud Lights at your house, your old school house.
Yeah, Sagewood.
And your mom said something. She goes, your face is getting red there. Or said something to that effect. But I remember that. But I remember that was like, we were like high school maybe. Or
possibly, yeah.
But I just remember she knows I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
She allowed it.
Yeah.
But
she knew.
So it started back then. I mean, that I'm just saying. Dude, we're sober now, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That type of stuff started probably before we even knew it.
Dude, but do you know that I didn't drink until I was 18? I drove you guys around. Like every time I was driving, I was a sober driver.
That's
Isn't that
right.
weird?
Yeah, I remember. No, you're right.
Yeah. We go to TJ, right?
Okay.
Like I drive everyone down there.
Yeah, I just remember getting so fucked up down there. Yeah, all right, we don't have to get it.
We won't get into any more books.
We'll end it soon.
Yeah,
okay, yeah. So, dude, it was a pleasure, dude.
Yeah.
We're going to shoot the shit a little after.
So
my announcements, I'm doing another podcast called Scissor Bros Podcast. Link will be in the YouTube description. I have a Patreon if you want to help support the platform, patreon.com/StevieWeeby. StevieWeebyShow.com, that's a website if you want to order any merch. Just know that the orders will be delayed a little bit because of COVID. StevieWeebyBandcamp.com is where the music is. Check out Oh Rodeo Man. It's on my YouTube. My Instagram is QUANGOU, and I think that's it, brother.
One more thing.
Go ahead. I know things are popping.
No. This is super important. Kelly, my wife, I love you.
Okay, that's good. That was sweet. Okay.
My buddy Skip is a trip, feeling blue like a crib. Framed for robbing a bank, letting loose from the hip. He really couldn't predict this grip, a soul full of angst. Him and Henry Woodward Peckers did a song and dance at bit. Oh, rodeo man in the West, you can. You're the best on the land, you bless the sand. Stir the bull with your hand, oh Skip, you can. Get that bucket bull, pull on that rope. Feeling still crazy, maintaining against the grain. Making me wanna get in a plane. The pain inside my brain never ends, sustained. I'm down for the count on the ground freight train. Living today, don't give it away. The peace and the praise, the raise. Shining it down to mightiest crowns, the finest of frowns delayed. Skippy's afraid, he feels betrayed. Live this way, can deal with shade. A spade is a spade, he made the greatest blade in a charade of pain. I am not a man, I am an animal, a male. I live by maritime, the law of water about to sail. When my mother had me, I slipped out of her canal. What you call a sailing ship is named after a female.